Shalom, mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family. We're the mishpucha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're finally, that middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Pastor Ron Phillips, and on yesterday's broadcast, we found out how this nice, well-educated Southern Baptist pastor had an explosion. That's the best way I can describe it, of the Holy Spirit. His whole church, his whole theology has become closer to the Bible than he ever dreamt possible, because he thought that the miracles, the signs, the wonders had ceased. They were for one time, but they were over. But he found out that God changes not.
That's right.
And tell me a bit about what goes on in a worship service at your church. First of all, about how many come to a Sunday morning service.
We average over 3,000.
3,000?
Yes, sir. And in a town of 160,000 like Chattanooga, this has become a large church. And we're grateful for that. And we give God glory.
But I understand that as you've been teaching on how the angels worship with us, you've been hearing some amazing things at your worship service. What's going on?
Well, we have had, as we go through, when we have worship, we do all of our announcements and family time, and then we start, and we don't allow worship to be interrupted after we get through with that. And we'll go into, we start with high praise with the shofar blowing the horns, trumpets, and our band, and loud. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We believe we're David's tabernacle. David planted that tabernacle for 33 years on Mount Zion, and we believe that we're connected as David's tabernacle, that we're being restored, just like Israel has been restored to their land, that God's restoring the tabernacle of David in the church too, and that we're a part of that, what you call a one new man. We believe that with all of our heart. And then worship will move from the choruses that we know and the songs that we know. Many times it'll move into a singing in the Holy Ghost. Some people will be, you can hear them. It's not disturbing. It's not loud, but it's like.
When I first got saved in the early 70s, I would go to charismatic prayer meetings, and the thing that overwhelmed me was the majesty it sounded almost like a choir, except I knew no one even knew each other, but we were singing in the spirit, and the melodies were you couldn't orchestrate melodies that were as beautiful.
The rhythms of it are I believe the rhythms of God and the rhythms of creation. Even the physicists, the quantum physicists, say that everything's made out of strings that are playing music. If we could hear the stars, the galaxies. And I believe that God lets us tap in. And of course, tongues are tongues of angels as well, the Bible says. So I believe that as we speak in tongues, we're doing that's angel talk. And Hebrews 12 says, speaking of worship, you're not come to Mount Sinai, you're come to Mount Zion. That's the church's connection to Israel, by the way, too. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, this is the church gathering, to an innumerable company of angels, to God the judge of all, the spirit of just men made perfect. I believe even those who've gone on before, they can't see everything going on, but I believe they can catch a glimpse of worship.
So what's going on when this majestic worship occurs? You're hearing something beyond your congregation. What are you hearing?
We call it, I guess, Richard Riss's book on the revival of the 1948. They call it the Heavenly Choir. And I think that's what we're hearing and beginning to hear more of. And, we haven't been smart enough just, well, let's just capture all that on tape. But we're now trying to do that. We don't want to.
So you're hearing an angelic choir on top of you singing in unknown tongues.
Right.
But you're hearing something beyond your congregation.
Yes, we are. We're hearing sounds, and many people are hearing it. I tell you, for a novice that comes into a service, it takes them back a little bit, it's sweet. It's not it's not the loud sound. It's that rhythm. I don't know how to express it that you talked about, that flow and wave of tone after tone meeting each other, not only from the people, but you're hearing other tones and sounds. And one time, I thought somebody had turned our baptism along, because I could hear something that sounded like water. And I asked the people, how many of you heard that? And hundreds of people said they could hear it. And so we've had that goes on here, and it's captured here, you know, by what God's doing. And see, I believe the angels are here, but we just don't acknowledge the fact that heaven is kissing earth, that the dimensional boundaries are breached, and God moves in from the heaven of heavens, from the heavens, that dimension moves into earth. And by the way, even the physicists believe where dimensions cross, the supernatural is possible, and that everything that's been done for a million of what we'd call years in that dimension, if we have a dimensional interruption, becomes possible in a millisecond here on earth. So I believe that angels attend miracles. I believe angels attend what's going on. They minister, they serve, they're here to take that which wears us out off of us. Doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard, but they're here to make that thing flow in ministry and power and strength.
You have actually been strengthened by an angel. Describe that to me.
Yeah, that we shared in one of the, I think shared with you earlier when we were talking privately, when that angel took me down to my study from that house in April 18th of this year. When we went down there, I stayed there after he left. I couldn't see him anymore. He may have still been there, but he passed back into that other realm. I stayed there almost stunned. I was stunned. But when I got through, I began to operate in that strength in my spirit. And I felt that strength in my spirit, but also in my flesh, because having been up all night, I wasn't tired. And I think maybe I got a little bit of what Elijah experienced when the angels met him under the juniper tree, and what Jesus in the garden, it said an angel appeared and strengthened him.
But do you know, because of the times we're living in, the last of the last days, every believer has to experience this type of angelic activity, and as you put it, has to learn how to partner with the angels.
That's right.
But most believers go their whole life and they're not even aware of the angels. For instance, have you seen the angel assigned to you to help you?
Yes, I have, and this happened even before I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and that's something I never told except to my wife, because I was afraid, being a Orthodox Southern Baptist, that people would think I was crazy. But I had gone, really it was 1978 when it happened, and I was on my way. I went up to preach in North Alabama, and it was snowing, and I went up on this mountain to preach in this church, and I really went out of pride, because a guy named Dr. Claude Ray was singing, and he'd sung with Billy Graham, and I wanted to be on the platform with him, and a lot of mixed motives there. I was a young fella, just 32 years old, and I went up that mountain, and the pastor said, we're going to have to speed up the service. So I preached, and when I finished, everybody left, and went outside, there was snow and ice everywhere. And an old farmer said, can I help you down the mountain? And I said, no, I'll make it. Well, I did a 360 in that car, nearly went off the side of the mountain, and I couldn't move. The car was spinning. I couldn't get it to move. Nobody was there. And I said, God, please help me. And the Lord said, your angel is here. And I said, okay, angel, help me. That's all I said. And I got the car again. I turned it. It got back on the road. It never skidded again. And I saw a glow on the front fender of the car on the right side, and then the glow got beside me in the car, and I thought, I'm losing it, you know. So I came down the mountain, and as I came to the mountain, to Interstate 59 in North Alabama, the highway patrol had blocked that road off that I was coming down, so nobody could go up. And the guy said, how in the world did you get off that mountain? And I said, well, God helped me. And he said, "Well, where are you going? You can't go north." I said, "Well, I'm going south to Gadsden." He said, "Well, that'll be okay. You'll be okay between here and there. There are a couple of lanes open." And he looked in the car and he said, he acknowledged that there was somebody in the car with me and said, "Now you all be careful." He saw it.
He could see your angel.
And it was just.
And could you see? Could you see your angel?
Yes, they look like men to me. But they're big. I mean, they're. It's like the. This sounds. It's like the Incredible Hulk, but good looking. That's all I can tell you. They're just. And I know they can manifest themselves any way they want to. Now, I don't believe that. See, the angels that sinned, and I have a little bit about that in this book, but the angels that sinned left their habitation. And some of them inhabited men and created a race, and that's another program and another story. But the holy angels have been watching, you know, for a long time. They're not going to rebel. They're not going to take somebody else's body ever. But they do. They can.
What do angels watch for? I've read about angels are watchers. What are they watching?
Well, they watch to see if the earth is at rest, and that's what the Bible says. And they report to God if things are not at rest around God's people. If things are disturbed around God's people, they report that to God. And I believe that angels are very close. See, I don't believe heaven's far off. I believe it's a different dimension, and that's another subject as well. I believe that dimensionally angels are as close to us as you can possibly be. And they, like Jacob, when he saw the open heaven in 28 of Genesis, and he saw the angels ascending and descending. I tell people the angels weren't doing heavenly aerobics. They were getting orders from God to help us and getting reports back from them on what was going on. They're angels that are watchers, that are here to watch over. I see things in the world are difficult, but I'm not worried because I know God has his emissaries over every city.
All right, Ron, our time is slipping away again. We're making available brand new book, just literally off the press, Our Invisible Allies, The Definitive Guide on Angels and How They Work Behind the Scenes. Mandatory, absolutely mandatory, available for a donation of $20 or more. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalutzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.